Welcome to Astrology Talk, two professional astrologers discussing the month ahead. That's me, Christina Rodenbeck, and my friend and colleague, Sally Kirkman.
Hi, I'm Sally Kirkman from sallykirkman.com, and I'm here with my dear friend and fellow astrologer, Christina Rodenbeck, who's from oxfordastrologer.com. And together we are Astrology Talk Podcast. And we're back talking to you about a new month of astrology, what's going on, what's up, what's down, what's around. I'm having a little look back at the astrology that's been and gone and how that's played out as well. And we're going to be looking at Gemini season this week as the sun moves into Gemini on May the 20th. So this podcast is for May 20th to June 20th. But let's have a little look at what's been going on, Christina. How's it been? How's your month been?
Great. I mean, it's been, Well, obviously, I have a very important birthday took place this month, which is my daughter. My eldest daughter is 21. She's a 21-year-old Taurus. And that was very thrilling. And really great, actually, to, you know, we got there. We made it to 21. and it's been quite a sort of amazing year for Taurians as well. So that was interesting to kind of look back on. Because Jupiter's been in their sign and Uranus is in their sign. And we had that conjunction, which we talked about so much in the last podcast. And it was just interesting to see how that is playing out around the world. What do you think about that, Sally?
Well, I mean, the big thing for me was the protests at the universities in the States. Jupiter's higher education, Uranus is radical. And that seemed to be huge news. I think it started just before the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction. That's when it was really big news going on. So, I mean, and it's still been going on because, as we know, even moving into Gemini season, Jupiter's just sort of completing its journey through Taurus and Uranus. And they're kind of, you know, they're triggered by all the inner planets throughout May. So, I mean, this is going to stay big news, isn't it, really?
Yeah, I think so. And I have to say, I noticed that the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction, which was at 21 degrees of Taurus, was exactly opposite to Joe Biden's own Jupiter in Scorpio. So, I would say a conflict of value systems there as well, which is that Jupiterian is what is just, So we'll see how that plays out. Yeah, I agree. I think that is one of the aspects of this Jupiter-Uranus conjunction that has exploded. You know, I'm glad that we got through April, because I have to say I felt that that was quite stressy astrology, quite dangerous astrology, and that we're now heading into June, which is, you know, less worrying astrology. There's quite worrying astrology in April.
Yeah. Agreed.
Combining with that eclipse and stuff. So I'm glad that we've kind of got over that, past that bit.
It's not felt calm though, has it?
No, it's not.
We talked about Taurus season, that it wasn't going to be a calm, steady Taurus season at all because of Jupiter and Uranus really ramping things up. I do need to talk about one of the big things that happened on the Pluto turning retrograde in Aquarius. I mean, that for me was really significant. I live in St. Leonard's-on-Sea, next door to Hastings. And on the day that Pluto, the planet of undergroundness, turned retrograde in Aquarius, the water bearer, we had a burst water pipe. And it was major. I mean, all the homes were without water here. Fortunately, for me, it was about 36 hours because I live near a care home and they started to put water direct into the system. But for a lot of people, it was kind of 5 days without water. I mean, it affected all the local businesses, absolute disaster for them on bank holiday weekend. And I just thought, you know, you couldn't really, that Pluto retrograde in Aquarius, and it's an underground water pipe that breaks down. It felt a bit like society falling apart on that that retrograde Pluto. And of course, here in the UK, it was May the 2nd. It was the day of the local elections when there was this, you know, talk about society falling apart, a massive vote of no confidence in the Conservatives. So, you know, really striking symbolism.
I thought it was a really important local election. So it took place across the entire country, and it was a wipeout for the government. Of course, it doesn't mean we can wipe them out yet, but it was a vote of unpopularity, which is really, that's so Plutonian, isn't it? Is we hate you. Basically, we hate you. That's what the public said. They lost everywhere. Pretty much everywhere. And it's, I thought it was amazing. It's like pulling the plug, right? On that retrograde. You pulled the plug on the Tories. It's done. It's over. For God's sake, go, leave. Depart, you know, stop hanging on. Pluto has spoken. It worries me slightly that they might kind of call a general election when Pluto has crept back into Capricorn briefly.
Yeah, and I think that's very possible. I think it's very possible because it will be back in Capricorn September, October, November. That's the likely time there's going to be a general election. You know, Pluto in Aquarius is this kind of power to the people theme. But Pluto back in Capricorn could be very different again. So there are no guarantees and certainties about what's going to happen. But interesting, wasn't it, that it was Pluto retrograde in Aquarius and the people were shouting out, out, out.
It was also the sort of consensus was interesting, was that it was everything. It was across the board. Many places went red that have been blue for generations. And it's interesting, I mean, that the... when Pluto goes back into Capricorn, that is when the US general election will be as well, 5th of November, or is it the 4th? That's when they will have that US election when Pluto is back in Capricorn. So it's still the old guard who are controlling things. And then the inauguration is going to have that Pluto in Aquarius. I had a... salon about this for my Oxford Astrologer group members this month, and we had a long discussion about the whole US election. It was really interesting, but that was one of the standout things, is that switch happens between the election and the inauguration, and what does that actually mean, because it's very significant. Pluto's change of signs is very significant, and it's significant, it has been significant this month because of that stationing. It's called, when it turns retrograde, it actually stations. So that means that it stands still. And then it's like really intense. It intensifies as it stands there. So anybody who's got stuff either facing that Aquarius, like, isn't your sun square to that? Did you feel that?
Well, I mean, the interesting thing was, yes, I did. And, you know, Aquarius is a social sign. And because of all these water shortages, my social life went tits up that weekend because everything got closed. I had so much going on, and then suddenly I had nothing. And I was alone and on my own, which I thought Pluto squared the sun. It's like, oh, okay, well, I'll have to do my own thing then. So, you know, it'd be interesting to see. It was within 1 degree. My sun's at 3 degrees Scorpio. But I just thought, this is interesting. What's it going to be about when it comes back next year?
Just a word about that, Sally. I'm just thinking when Pluto. What's that? That's the sort of Italian version. Spluto. when Pluto squared my sun many years ago, I had a bit of an identity theft. Someone tried to use my name in vain. And so just a warning there. Keep a close eye, because identity theft is so much easier these days, isn't it?
Yeah, okay. Good advice. I did think you were going to say identity crisis, which is possibly more likely for me. But anyway, I'll keep an eye on identity theft too. I mean, the sun is your essence, isn't it? It's the self. So interesting. And of course, mine in Scorpio, it could very well be something going on behind the scenes. So worth keeping an eye on. I just want to say that those of you who are on YouTube, Actually, Christine and I are in red and blue.
Yes, we are.
Aren't we? And I was just thinking, when you talked about red and blue, I mean, here in the UK, it's perhaps important. Red is Labour and blue is Conservatives. I mean, that's the colours. So I'm not saying...
Excuse me. What are you implying?
I was just, when you were talking about red and blue, I thought I need to say that that's Labour Conservative. And then I looked at us and there we are. But it means nothing. I mean, I wear blue too, love. So
yeah, no, I anything I say at this point would be so rude that I won't.
Okay.
except to say, I can say I did not vote for the Tories. And I never have. Okay.
Same. Okay. So we're moving in. Do we want to say anything else about what's been and gone? Or are we going to take a look at the Geminis?
Oh, my God, Trump. I have to mention that. Trump is, he's smeared all over the news, been smeared all over the news for like months now, but really intensely at the moment with these court cases. And Jupiter is court cases, right? And there has been a Jupiter-Uranus conjunction. And here he is, neck deep in court cases. He has an incredible Jupiter-Uranus trine in his birth chart, which has always served him extremely well. It's the get-out-of-jail-free card. If you have that in your own chart, lucky you. But it does give you ups and downs, as we have seen. And I am very fascinated by the fact that it's just this rumbling thing of court cases. And it could go either way. It's Uranus. You know, it's Uranian. So it's crazy stuff.
Yes, this, and I know my friend Joanna always says that Uranus is like the astrologer's nightmare because you never know what's going to happen. It's so unexpected, isn't it? It can bring a good surprise or it can bring a bad shock. You know, it's just this kind of really topsy-turvy, erratic planet. So,
and it can make things sort of that seem to be going along at a certain pace. It can accelerate the pace like exponentially, right? Or accelerate the number of court cases exponentially. So it's got this, it's like fertilizer sometimes, that, or some kind of flame, you know, it makes things suddenly explode, essentially.
Yeah, it is that. It's, you know, it's the planet that can, you know, turn your life around. It's the sort of, you know, it's get rich quick overnight, lose everything overnight. It's sort of on, you know, it is instant, isn't it? So it's an exciting, I mean, I like Uranus in a way. It's a kind of exciting energy, but it just brings so much change. I mean, my life, you know, Uranus transits for 7 years. I've got so many planets in Libra, Scorpio. Uranus went through Aries opposing all the Libra planets. Then it's been in Taurus opposing all the Scorpio planets. Change, 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 change. Nothing is the same. So, you know, it is, you've got to let go and be willing to move forward. Don't hang on.
Yeah. I mean, that's the general advice, isn't it, at the moment? It's like, if change comes along, do not resist it because you've got to go with the change. Because this is in Taurus as well, you know, it's like, we really mean it. It's foundational change. We really mean it. But we've got this exciting, you know, change of Jupiter coming up,
yep,
actually.
We'll talk
about that in a minute. So, Geminis. So there's the big Geminis. I hate to say it, it's Trump. And, you know, we were thinking about Geminis who've been involved, I mean, in a lot of arguments and disputes over the past few years. There are, some of their names I can't even put in my mouth, but have a look in the news.
Well, no, I'm going to say some. We were thinking of Johnny Depp. We were thinking of Russell Brand. And of course, we've had Trump and then Boris Johnson. It just this kind of... And I have these Gemini girlfriends. I mean, I have a lot of Gemini girlfriends. Scorpio, Gemini, such a good connection. And, you know, they seem to just be getting lovelier and sort of, you know, exploring the Gemini archetype in a good way. So it was interesting that when we were coming to, you know, because we like to kind of look at the Geminis, but it was, this did seem to be a lot of controversy around them. Didn't they? Or it is like, it's like a war of words going on. It's a war of words. with the Geminis. I mean, the other one I found, which Kendrick Lamar, who's a rapper, is in a rap feud with Drake, who's Scorpio. That's the Scorpio Gemini again, that connection, I suppose. But yeah, for them, they've been having a feud for quite some time, but it's just heated up recently, March, April into May. And they're kind of, the feud is going through the words in the music they're putting out. And I just think that's extraordinary. That's like a real Gemini ding dong, isn't it?
Gemini is like the perfect sign for a rapper, right? I mean, there's so many songwriters with a bit of who are Gemini or have a bit of Gemini, because it's, you've got the gift of the gab with Gemini, and sometimes that's great, and sometimes it leads you into strange places, you know, where you go too far. And I think that Russell Brand is this example of like the Gemini that has gone too far. Yeah, I love Gemini. I mean, one of my other daughters is. The one who's not the Taurus is a Gemini, and she's a charm and a delight and a delicate fairy, who likes to talk. It's true.
Who likes to talk? Yeah,
she likes to talk. So it's been. I would say it's not just now that there's been all these disputes, although maybe the Drake Lamar one is recent. It's been something. It's been a theme for the famous Geminis for the last few years, I mean, Gemini is a sign with two faces. It's got the dark side and the light side. The witness and the actor, the kind of journalist. And, you know, it can go really toxic, as we see in some of those cases, especially when you kind of when the dark side takes over.
No, I agree. It's dual natured. It's one of the mutable star signs. The ruling planet's Mercury, who, as we know, is the trickster and thief as well as the communicator. So, yeah, there is this really, I think sometimes it's what their relationship with the truth is, because there is this propensity to lie or fudge the truth or, you know, I don't know, sometimes just wanting to mislead people. Or joke around. Sometimes, you know, I've had that experience in the past with Geminis who are like pranksters and they think things are funny. And then actually, oh, no, that's not too funny, because it kind of, it hurts people as well. So yeah, this real strange relationship that they have with truth and kind of what's okay.
Well, it's something if you raise your consciousness as a Gemini, you know, there is this trickster element, which is delightful. I love it. And some Geminis, I mean, I'm just thinking of Bob Dylan, you know, Hard Rain, really speak the truth or getting somewhere really deep for the collective about reporting on what reality is. And it is the relationship with the truth. If you start, you know, if you're conscious of what the truth is and you keep that consciousness, then actually it's an incredible sign for helping us to understand the world in which we live, because Geminis can reflect it back to us. And even the kind of Geminis who we might not be terribly keen on, maybe they are really importantly reflecting back to us something about ourselves as a collective. So, I mean, I've back to Trump, he's definitely doing that. You know, it's not a random chance that Donald Trump is this super famous person who is, he's representing something for people, and he's representing, often it's something in yourself that the Geminis do, or, you know, Depp is another one. What's he representing? You know, it may be ugly, but it's there. And it's that dark side of human nature. And it, you know, as a sort of person, as a Gemini, you know, if you're born with a sun in Gemini, this is going to be a sort of thing, that a battle that you have going on inside you sometimes. You know, it's like, I think of that cartoon, you know, Tintin, he used to have his dog Snowy. Sometimes there's some cartoons of him, points where he has Snowy with wings, who's an angel, and Snowy who's a devil, saying these two things on each, you know, sitting on his shoulder. And that's also can be what Gemini has to battle with, is like the devil and the angel. Which one am I going to be?
Yeah, and they play devil's advocate, don't they? Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, they're good at playing devil's advocate and seeing the other side of the coin. So really interesting in a way, isn't it, that they're going to have Jupiter, the planet that really is kind of about truth, I often think, truth and justice, moving into their star sign on May 25th and will be there for a whole year. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out for Geminis and, you know, what's coming. And we're leaping in. I mean, I find the astrology quite interesting at the moment because everything's kind of happening all at once, isn't it? It's sort of, you know, we've had this absolute powerhouse of Taurus energy, which does continue until the end of May, actually. But then suddenly everything's in Gemini, and Gemini, big news. What's this about? So it's going to be really fascinating. I always think when, you know, the fact that Jupiter's moving into Gemini only a few days after the Sun moves into Gemini, really watch what happens around that date. Because, you know, that is likely to straight away show up some of the themes of what's going to be going on moving forward. We'd love you to support our podcasts and our websites. Christina and myself, Sally Kirkman, we both write newsletters. Christina has a membership site at oxfordastrologer.com, monthly horoscopes, an art salon and more. And I have a weekly newsletter, which is at sallykirkman.com, with weekly horoscopes and astrology updates. They both support our businesses, so please do take a look and subscribe.
So shall we jump into the month ahead then?
I think we should. I think let's do that. I mean, should we start by looking at the full moon? Because it's really, it happens just on... No, you don't want to.
No, I do. I was just going to say, there's so much happening around that full moon.
There is.
That yes. It's actually not like that day. It's like there's a whole nexus of things that are radiating out from that full moon. So the sun actually goes into Gemini on the 20th, doesn't it? So it makes a conjunction with Jupiter on the day before. Then it goes into Gemini. The day after, you know, a couple of days later, Venus makes a conjunction to Jupiter, which is a really lucky day. And then there's this full moon and Venus goes into Gemini and then Jupiter goes into Gemini. So we've got this whole week of like stuff changing. And these are all big lucky planets, I would say.
Yeah. And it is the full moon date in a way that so much is going on because it's that 23rd of May. The full moon, I mean, it depends where you are in the world when it falls, obviously, but that's the Venus Jupiter in Taurus, and that's Venus moving into Gemini. It's also the full moon with the Sun in Gemini, Moon Sagittarius. And there's a Jupiter-Neptune sextile aspect as well on the 23rd. Jupiter in Taurus, sextile Neptune in Pisces, right at the end, 29 degrees. Before Jupiter moves into Gemini on the 25th. It's kind of slightly, it's exciting, but it's crazy bonkers astrology, isn't it? All around
well,
there.
Well, it's everything astrology. I mean, so basically this is going to affect everyone in some way. And you can't say one single thing this is going to be because it's so complex. And I love complexity. But and often there's opportunity. And also, I mean, another thing about this period, because I would just say it's that whole week, that whole end of May, really. I wouldn't want to sort of just pull one day out. Actually, it may be really huge on the full moon because full moons exaggerate stuff. But I also just to note, this is Venus taking that energy. She's taking the light from Uranus through Jupiter. So she makes a conjunction with Uranus earlier on. Then she takes it to Jupiter. Then she takes it to the Sun. So she's taking this energy. She's taken this Uranian. So for some people, this is falling in love, actually, because that's another thing that Uranus does. It's a coup de foudre. It's a lightning bolt. And that affects so many different signs because of the rulerships. That it could be, you know, it could be Sagittarius falls in love. It could be Taurus falls madly in love. It could be Leos, you know, whoever. So there's this amazing streak of kind of luck and love and light across that part of the sky. Of course, there's a tricky side. And because it makes a sextile to Neptune, which is the planet of illusion, but also glamour, but also rose-tinted spectacles, who you need when you're falling in love. You know, you need that kind of crazy Neptunian, oh my, you know, bliss. And to me, there's a kind of bliss in this, you know, bliss it was to be in those times. And, you know, that poem by Wordsworth about the French Revolution, bliss it was to be in those times and to be young was very wonderful. To me, it feels like that. And it's interesting that there's also this revolutionary spirit spread across campuses and with the young are rising up. Because I think the campuses may just be what we're seeing, the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, it's idealistic too, isn't it? The whole, this whole combination. I mean, really interesting as well, because, you know, during, I'm going to pull it back to the full moon, during the full moon, the sun's in Gemini, but you've got the Venus, Jupiter together in Taurus, Uranus in Taurus, Mercury in Taurus. So a real strength of energy in Taurus during this full moon. So everyone look where, you know, that falls in your horoscope. And I agree as well. It's so much, I mean, I think this is part of Taurus strength, really. It is that being able to appreciate life and being able to, what are you grateful for? You know, and Taurus is a reminder sometimes that that can be the simple things. It can be nature. It can be, you know, a cup of tea. It can be a hug. It can just be looking at, you know, at looking at the beauty of the world or smiling at someone. It pulls it back to simple pleasures and what you're grateful for. So I think, you know, really use this astrology at the end of May to keep coming back to that. Keep coming back to what you love, what you enjoy, and what you can give out into the world as well. It is, you know, it is a lovely time to compliment others or to help others. I mean, that Venus is just, as you say, sweeping along and very, very close to the full moon. It's, you know, it's at 29 Taurus, sun at 2 degrees Gemini. So they're tight. We've got very, very strong Venus influence on both the full moon and the new moon in Gemini season. And Venus is love. She's art. She's beauty. She's the good things in life. She's also money.
And, you know, I always think sort of white powders, man. So she's that, and indulgence, isn't she, as well?
She's indulgence, yeah.
Also, that full moon, just to point out, it's a Sagittarius full moon, right? So that's the why, you know, one reason to think about generosity and hospitality and giving. And for Sagittarians, that a lot of that energy is in personal one-to-one relationships. You know, it's your peers. There's some kind of big change probably happening for a lot of Sagittarians in partnerships. And this does not look like a negative change, particularly. It's like you're swept off your feet, you're swept along, you're made some offer. And I think one of the things I was thinking with this, that Jupiter Uranus conjunction is it can be a point where you have to leave some stuff behind. You know, you have to drop some things. So you may have dropped stuff in order to let in that Venusian energy, you know, that's come into your opposite sign, Taurus, and will then go into Gemini.
Yeah, no, it's very lovely. It is lovely. And I think it's, you know, Venus rules women too. It's about the people in your life. So, I mean, it may be, again, this you don't have to do it all on by yourself. It isn't all about, you know, you're not on your own here. It's kind of find your people or find the ones who can, you know, love you, support you and hold you. So there's some very general themes, I think. I mean, it's interesting that we're not diving in and looking at each star sign and what it means, because there's some real general themes, aren't there, too?
Yeah. I mean, no, I misspoke because I said for Sagittarians, I think this is particularly important. And I said, it's in your opposite sign, but it's not. It's on the other side of the sky for you. So the sun is in your opposite sign, but that stellium is in Taurus, which is the opposite sign for Scorpio. But it's still, so for Sagittarians, it's peer-to-peer stuff. And it's also maybe where you're of service, but that is switching straight into that partnership. And there are changes in that. So there may be changes at work for Sagittarius and then changes in partnership as well. And the same for Scorpio, you know, there's some expansion of partnership or some change in partnership that's been growing, you know, over the last, or a partnership that has literally been growing over the last year.
And also, I think it's really like for Venus, what's for Taurus, I should say, not Venus, I'm thinking it of Venus ruled. But for Taurus, this is, you know, it's all in your sign. And then it moves this full moon, the move into Gemini is about money, values, self-worth. So there's some link between who you are and what you've kind of accumulated during this whole time, perhaps Jupiter's been in Taurus. And then what are you going to do with that? It's in some ways, I mean, if you know you're a wealthy Taurus, it's like kind of giving it away, isn't it? It could be giving it away. Or if you're really aware of your value and self-worth, it's making sure you get paid what you deserve. But there's, yeah, it's all whatever's built up in Taurus over time. It's then how's that going to play out or come into being, you know, in Gemini or wherever that is for you in your chart.
Yeah. And for Taurus, it may not be about wealth, but an accumulation of knowledge because it's Jupiter.
Jupiter.
Right. Yeah. So what you've learned, your wisdom. Now, how are you going to use that? How are you going to use that either in the marketplace or share it or whatever? So yeah, wherever you've had that Jupiter. So, you know, again, for say Leos, you know, where have you accumulated status? You know, what is it that you've accumulated? are you more visible than you were? Are you getting a degree? You know, are you being given that piece of paper? That's all this sort of the end. So the tail end of Jupiter's transit through a sign tends to be a moment where you might get the results, the gift, whatever that happens to be. So you may have felt, for a lot of people, this Jupiter transit through Taurus has been very up and down because it's Uranian, you know, because there's been that unknown that, you know, as we were saying earlier, Uranus transits are crazy, right? And it's been magnifying that Uranian energy in Taurus. So it's been hard to see what the benefits are. But now you may see the benefits at the end of May.
Yeah. And I think the other theme as well that could be really important during this time is freedom. You know, and I'm thinking like in particular for Leos for some Leos, it's been working your way out of a position or a role or a situation. And maybe at this point, finally, you break free. You can get out as well. So that's another theme. Same for Aquarius, home and family sector. Perhaps, you know, you've been working through a home or family situation. And at this point, you can break free of it. It's you can let go and move on. There's a shift, a change.
Just leave them all behind. Leave the castle, throw away the key, walk forth, Aquarians. There's a big world out there waiting to be trod. Yeah, so I agree. I think there's a fantastic theme of liberation here. And that continues. I mean, the thing also to note is that Jupiter leaves Taurus on the 26th of May, not to come back for 12 years. So this is a big, big change. But Uranus is going to stay in Taurus for a couple more years. So there's still change happening in that area of your chart, but maybe not so dramatically or not so kind of, in some cases, violently. Or so I felt that for some of the people I talk to, you know, some of my clients and family and stuff, it's been very explicit. It's like the gods are saying, and this means this, and this means this, and now you do this. Okay. And you're kind of you've been pushed along in a certain direction because it's been shown to you like a sort of panorama.
Interesting. So, I mean, we have got this big shift going on of Jupiter, haven't we? Moving from Taurus to Gemini. All the stars star signs as they follow on are so different. So, you know, Jupiter moving into Gemini, I mean, I think there's some, and it's that weekend of 25th, 26th of May, depending where you are. I think it's important to look at the themes of what this is about. I mean, straight away for me, you know, it's quite important that it moves into an air sign. Gemini, one of the air signs, because it is, that means it's going to start, you know, making connections with Pluto in Aquarius.
Well, it's not just that, is it? It's like it's a perfect trine. It's a perfect connection.
It is exact, isn't it? It's on the 3rd of June, those two finally come together. So air, you know, all that we've been kind of learning and seeing about Pluto and Aquarius and this incredible acceleration of artificial intelligence, technology, you know, Jupiter's just going to increase that. And I think because it's Jupiter-Pluto coming together, you know, these two planets are often about wealth and profit. It's, you know, there's going to be huge money to be made from, you know, these new developments as well. And air is suddenly all important. So I think the way we take in knowledge, the way we pass it on, it's going to get faster, it's going to get quicker, it's going to get more complex, it's going to maybe take over. And I mean, that's the thing with Jupiter and Gemini, isn't it? It could end up being a bit overwhelming because there's so many ideas, there's so much to learn, there's so much to read. You know, and it's, I quite like Jupiter and Taurus personally, because it felt kind of like, oh, let's take things one step at a time. And now it's kind of, you know, it's going to be, you know, juggling too many balls with Jupiter and Gemini, maybe. How to rein that in?
You know, here's what I think, is that first of all, Jupiter was pretty much in conjunction with Uranus or close to Uranus a lot of the time in Taurus, so we already had all that. So now it's like breathing free air. Of course, I love Jupiter in Gemini because I have Jupiter in Gemini.
Yes.
Which is a place of, I think it's traditionally, it's a place of fall. It's like terrible. It's one of those, you know, those, if you read old horoscope, old astrology books, they're like, oh, Jupiter in Gemini, you're so shallow. But I agree with you about all of that stuff. I think you're right that this just means the whole acceleration of artificial intelligence, etc. That weekend, so is it the weekend? Anyway, 28th of May, the moon also makes conjunction with Pluto in Aquarius. And then we have the trine to Jupiter in Gemini. And this is the real, real beginning of this air, a couple of decades that we're going to have, okay? Because this is Pluto in Aquarius. So big money, but also big war, big fights over the... and what do we mean by Aquarius? Aquarius is the systems that connect us, right? So that's why Sally's water was cut off, right? That was the water system. But we're talking about the information system, the system of how information and there are, you know, you can see that there are going to be real issues with cybersecurity. And I mean that across the piece, right? However you see that, that is on a national and international level and on a personal level. So one thing I would say is, you know, shut things down. And that's already happening with the closing down of TikTok, for example. Has that happened yet? They're trying to...
I don't know. I heard it was being talked about. It may, yeah.
Yeah, trying to stop TikTok, that kind of thing. There's going to be more of that, you know, as people, as governments really start to understand the power of this thing, which is crazy because obviously it's been very powerful for ages. You know, we're talking on social, you know, the social networks now, probably. It's the way that we communicate has been transformed. And only now are we maybe catching up with that. So it's been, as people keep on saying, it's been the Wild West. You know, there have been no rules. And it'll be interesting to see what Pluto does in there. And this, as Jupiter goes into Gemini, we're going to see an explosion, a maximizing of that Pluto power, even though Pluto's now retrograde, of course. Because the retrograde planet doesn't necessarily make it less strong. It can make it more strong in some ways.
Yeah, and I think they only connect once, don't they? Jupiter won't go back to reconnect with Pluto. I mean, for me, the other theme, you know, there's Well, the last time Jupiter was in Gemini, actually, was 2012, which here in the UK was the Olympics were in London, which was always, I thought, was just such a lovely showing of Jupiter in Gemini, bringing people together from all over the world. And I think that's, you know, another theme of this Jupiter moving into Gemini. I mean, the multiculturalism, you know, there's going to be so much talk about human beings and are we kind of all one? I mean, for me, when I was thinking about, you know, I was thinking about Jupiter and Gemini, and I was thinking it's like lots of little people holding hands around the world.
Oh, Sally, you know? It's so sweet.
That's, I mean, there is something about that. And, you know, weather and earth, and we really need that a bit at the moment, don't we? Because there's division. But, you know, there's this, will Jupiter and Gemini enhance the interconnectedness of the world, of different cultures, the languages, and remind us of the sort of beauty of that, and, you know, how our differences are such a, they're such a vibrant part of our world and humanity. So, I mean, there's that, you know, that kind of quite excites me, what might happen with Jupiter and Gemini.
I like that. But, you know, it's interesting. I've been thinking about connections, family connections recently. And I noticed that the person who won the Venice Biennale, the big art show in Venice, is an Australian artist whose name I have forgotten. But he won it for something called Kith and Kin. And what he did was and I recommend that anybody just go look for this on the internet. It's an amazing artwork. And what he did was he drew his entire family tree in chalk across the Australian Pavilion. And he went back 64,000 years, right? And of course, we're all related. And that's really was the point of what he was saying. But also to recall these lives that have been erased by colonialism and racism, but also to sort of resurrect them. And also to remind us that we're all the same in the end. We're all connected. And it's interesting. I was talking to someone and they said, oh, well, did he go back to the, you know, the first ancestor? And I thought, and I said, no, he went back to the kind of multiple one. You know, what way up is a family tree, right? Is it that way up or is it that way up? Does it go reach a point at the bottom, which is you, or does it go to a point at the top, which is Eve, you know? And actually, that's quite a strange, it's interesting to think about. And I think that's to do with Pluto in Aquarius, a reminder that we're all connected. And then this, and that's exactly fits in with what you're saying of hands across the water, Sally, with that Jupiter in Gemini, because Gemini is the sign of brothers and sisters, right? And it's an understanding that we are all brothers and sisters around the globe. And if you don't get that, maybe you will in the next year. Maybe this is a theme of the coming 12 months.
Yeah, and how lovely that award, Kith and Kin. It's perfect, isn't it?
Yeah, it's about Kith and Kin.
You know, moving into Gemini season.
Yeah, and also we're seeing, you know, some of the wars that we're seeing are between cousins, right? So Palestine, Israel, Ukraine, Russia. These are, both of these people speak the same, you know, speak similar languages. You know, they are... And it's, you know, why are they at war? It's, you know, why are you doing that?
Well, we'll see what shifts come with it. I mean, it's, you know, this theme is straight away as we move into Gemini season, it's happening. And by the time of the new moon on 6th of June, I mean, there's so much going on in Gemini, isn't there? It's a really, really beautiful new moon, this one. The Sun, Moon, and Venus all at 16 degrees Gemini. Again, Venus, no, that's, you know, and if Venus is she's about love, isn't she? She's about love and peace and connection as well in Gemini. Mercury's there next to Jupiter in Gemini as well. So we've got stellium in Gemini. So Geminis, what are you doing on this new moon? I mean, what are you launching? I mean, you know, you're going to get your name known. It's the time to get your name out there in lights and let people see who you are, you know, and start something new on this. It's really kind of exciting. And of course, it's, you need to communicate it. You need to speak it. You need to share your ideas with people on this new moon as well. So it's just a lovely, it feels like a lovely kind of forward movement of excited Gemini activity.
Yeah, or peace talks.
Peace talks, hopefully.
That's what Venus in Gemini is peace talks, you know, love talks, that kind of thing. And she'll be there for most of the month, won't she? When does she go into Gemini? It's at the same as the full moon, isn't it? On the day of the full moon.
Yes.
And by this time, by the new moon, she's halfway through. And the other thing about that to note about that new moon is that it's in a kind of Jupiter-Venus sandwich. But to me, the new moon is more receptive and less about pushing out. As you know, I'm a dark of the moon person, not a launch things on the new moon person. I would say day after or a couple of days out. Just see what comes to you on that new moon. So I have a slightly different, we have different takes on the new moon.
Yeah, we do. I mean, I like doing things on the day of the new moon. And I always like, you know, for me, it's those 2 days after when you first see the crescent moon in the night sky. That's a really good time to make a wish, set intentions. I always do that. I love doing that on the crescent moon, which is more, you know, what you're saying. But no, for me, it's always, yeah, we do see things differently.
Yeah, we do.
We do. Yeah, we say it quite a lot. So do we need to say it again? Perhaps not.
No, well, because you know, not everybody's listened to all of our podcasts, so they don't know that we have a that you're all for launching things on a new moon, and I'm all for waiting for the next day, because I think this is the dark of the moon and being more internal. But for, I just want to say that Gemini's this month, it's an incredible month, right? Because you've got Venus in there, you've got the beginning of your year, your 12 months of Jupiter in your sign, and this should be a 12 months where you really are expanding and thinking about how you're going to expand into the world. You've got 12 months to do it in, but it may be traveling, right? It's a classic traveling thing to have Jupiter in your own sun sign, because this is the it's the planet that's connected with pilgrimage, with long distance journeys. And the same, I would say, is probably true of Libra.
Definitely. It's, I mean, it's Libra, it's in your travel and study sector. So come on, big plans, big ideas. Where are you heading? What are you learning? I mean, this is, Jupiter encourages us all to live life to the full, doesn't it? It says, grasp those new experiences, go on an adventure. So, you know, the air signs, Gemini, Libra, Aquarius are all going to be feeling this. It's kind of this pull to something new, something exciting. And I think really interesting month as well for Virgo, because this is all happening in your career sector, your reputation, your status at the top of your, you know, the chart. So it's about, you know, what are you gaining? New qualifications, adding letters to your name. It's a real, you know, it's not, Virgos can sometimes be the sort of second in command or push someone else forward. And this astrology, particularly on this new moon, is saying, right, come on, we want to see what you've got, Virgo.
And this may be something that continues through the year. So all those Virgos who've been riding away, which many Virgos probably have, you know, this is when you're going to get your thing out there, get your work out there, get your, you know, it doesn't have to be you personally, but it can be the thing that you do that you are ready to share. Yeah, I really, I mean, so, and also for Libra, just to say that this could be the beginning of a year where you're working towards where Virgo is now, if you see what I mean. So Libra, you may start your course now that you're going to, you know, graduate from next year, right? And you're on an upward trajectory for Librans.
Definitely. And I'm just thinking as well, looking at this, I mean, for Pisces, this is home and family sector. I'm wondering what, we need to find out what the kith and kin artist star sign is, you know, because Pisces, this is a big family get together, isn't it? Or, you know, or it's deciding finally you can't be in one place and you need two homes. You need to, you know, you need to sort of wherever, again, where this falls, it's you want like diversity, or you want something more, and you need that flexibility, the flexibility and adaptability. It's not kind of staying put, is it? We're moving into this really mobile Gemini season, and Gemini rules transport too. So Aries, time to update your mode of transport or get a new mobile phone. It's in your communication sector.
Yeah, I would say definitely for Pisces, it's, you know, get a second home or make your house bigger or move house over the next 12 months. You know, you can do that. Interestingly enough, I am having quite a big family reunion this summer.
Right.
With people from Australia. Wow. Coming here.
Okay.
So there you go. I say that as a Pisces. So it's doing that thing. Various cousins.
That's perfect, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, that's perfect. Or draw your family tree up, you know, get that going as well for Pisces. if you've got the time.
Yeah. Well, that's a sort of retired person's job, isn't it?
Well,
yeah, you know, it's like,
it's full on, isn't
yeah.
it? It's full on. It takes a lot of research, a lot of sorting things out. We are kind of, I just do want to point out that, I mean, at this new moon, Mars is just completing its journey through Aries and will move into Taurus. When does it move into Taurus? It's probably a couple of days after.
I think it's the 8th or the 9th of June.
8th or 9th. And yeah. Then it is going to make a really powerful square to Pluto in Aquarius on June the 11th. So, you know, we're talking quite a lot about the more positive aspects of the astrology coming up, but that Mars-Pluto square is often a clash. I mean, I often think it's a time to be wary who you're up against. There's a real competitive, sometimes quite aggressive side to that when Mars and Pluto get together. So that is just a little cautionary note around that. You know, take a step back from anything that's too full on or potentially out of control.
It's interesting you point out that Mars, because Mars is in Aries for the whole of that period that we're talking about at the end of May as well, when everything's all lovely. But Mars in Aries can be like too Marsy. You know, it's a very powerful Mars in Aries, and it can be very irrational and very fighty. So it's back to this thing of like arguments. Is that sort of background noise going on through this period is like, you know, people being more aggressive than you would expect. And that's for everybody. It's like, oh, why was that person so rude to me? You know, the person I sort of passed on the street, that kind of, you can have that kind of aggression too with Mars and Aries, a sort of aggression floating around in the air. And then it moves in, to Taurus, and it makes that square to Pluto, which is also, it's a clash, isn't it? It's not kind of very nice energy.
Yeah, so it could be, you know, that's when the argument explodes. So there is, you know, this, and again, as we were talking about when we're talking about Gemini, this is the sort of flip side of Gemini, that it can get really irritating or argumentative or yeah. Sometimes, you know, you need to just sort of pause and think before you speak as well. So I think that's going to be a real key theme moving forwards. And the other thing I really want to say with, again, across the board with Jupiter and Gemini is don't get caught up in doing and taking on too much and saying too much. It's really important at times to stop and take a look at the bigger picture. Look more at your purpose, where you're heading and why, and keep coming back to that. And don't get, you know, caught up in the little things, the little details or the little irritations. I mean, that could be a theme as well moving through this month.
Yeah. And as sort of across the board, Jupiter and Gemini is learn a skill.
Yes.
That's it, everybody. Learn a skill, learn a language, learn crochet, something, you know, whatever it is. So you got a year. Yeah. And the other thing about that Mars and Aries is it may also be coming from a kind of wounded place, because Chiron is still in Aries. So, not great. When does Neptune go retrograde? Do you know?
Yes, it goes retrograde at beginning of July.
Yeah, so we're in a sort of station at the moment. It's beginning to station. Neptune is at a critical degree of Pisces, and it's been in Pisces since 2010 or 11. It's been there a long time. We are in the era of Neptune in Pisces. We really, really are. We will look back at this, and it's one of the defining features of the last 15 years, is the Neptunian explosion of magic. And when it's at 29 degrees, it's coming to the end of that transit. It won't leave Pisces until 2026, I think. But it's like right on the edge at the moment, right on the edge, looking over the thing, looking into Aries and stepping back. And, you know, it's there's a huge buildup of Neptunian power now, because Neptune is empowered in Pisces as well, I think. So we're going to have kind of a tidal wave when it goes into Aries properly, of something. And one of the, I mean, there are many features of Neptune and Pisces that we have discussed. For example, you know, television and film has been this explosion of magic. And actually, literally, people have been watching a lot of fantasy, like Game of Thrones and whatever. But also drugs of different kinds, you know, psychedelic drugs that take, and I would say a raising of consciousness that there has been as well. Spirituality has changed for people, has permeated people's lives in a much more numinous and profound way during this. Neptune in Pisces, I think a lot of people have been profoundly changed by it, including, you know, learning stuff like how meditation, you know, or mindfulness, as it's called, has complete, you know, it's part of the health system here now. And that is Neptune in Pisces, is understanding inner space and outer space, both of those things. So I think that's a really powerful feeling about this month, is this kind of the Neptunian. What is the Neptunian in your life? What is that Neptune in Pisces meant? And of course, we talk about illusion and lies. I've been saying all the nice stuff, but we've become very confused about what's true and what's not. And one of the things that Jupiter in Gemini offers is facts.
Yeah, it does. I mean, that's, you know, when you were talking, the other thing that I was thinking about is what's going to happen with the media. You know, as Neptune moves out of Pisces, and this also has been, you know, it's been an era of fake news, hasn't it? And, you know, social media, anything can go on social media. And Neptune actually does move into Aries in 2025. It goes there in 2025. So what's going to happen there? Will there be new regulations? You know, is the news going to become more honest? I can't really see that happening. But yeah, it could be something to do with the media as well. And I agree with what you're saying. I mean, Neptune can anesthetize. It can anesthetize. You know, there's an addictive side to Neptune as well. And not wanting to face things, wanting to lose yourself and take yourself away from reality. So Neptune's at the end of that in a way, and Jupiter, as you say, moving into Gemini now. So time maybe to talk about things more, express things, read things, but in a way that works for you, not against you.
Yeah, I have to say, I do associate the Neptune in Pisces also with the things like, fentanyl and stuff like that. It's been really bad for some people. And, you know, it's just come and taken them with no, you know, nothing to do with it. Just like the gods come along and they take you, you know, and you're obliviated. And that's terrible for the people around you.
Yeah, it's medication as well, isn't it? The reliance on medications and stuff. So yes.
Yay.
Yay. Yay.
But also fantasy and beauty and, you know, all of those lovely Neptunian things. You know, so there's many, and I think it's, in some ways, it's one of the most easy planets to understand, because it's all that numinous stuff, all the glamour. It's the fairy realm. And there's a good side to the fairy realm, where you get taken and you learn to become a great musician, or you get taken and you lose 20 years, you don't know where they went. And I think some ways when Neptune goes into Aries. It goes back and forth, doesn't it? So it doesn't actually properly move till 2026. We may feel like we're waking up from a dream.
Yeah, yeah. Where have we been bewitched? You know, who's bewitched us? And we'll see things differently.
All of those Pre-Raphaelite, a lot of the Pre-Raphaelite paintings were made during the 1850s, which was the last time. And it's a particular dreamy kind of Pre-Raphaelite thing. And of course, Dante Gabriel Rossetti became, an opium addict. It ruined his life. But that dream, Kubla Khan, that dreamy state is also something I think that we've all participated in to a certain extent in the last decade, more than a decade now. And idealistic as well. And it's a moment when that whoosh of energy comes. It's like, are we going to take those idealistic dreams and turn them into reality? I can't help thinking about what happened in the United States when Neptune went into Aries last time was the Civil War. After years and years and years of bickering in Congress and of people kind of lying and obfuscating and pretending they were doing this when they were really doing that, suddenly it's like, okay, now we're going to, kill each other. So let's not let that happen this time. That's what I say. Be warned.
It's going in with your eyes wide open, isn't it? It's not being blind to stuff, not being blind to what's happening.
Well, that's what astrology is for. It's for raising your consciousness to the tides of history so that you don't get swept up in the tides of history and you don't go around saying, oh, it's all going to be exactly the same. You know, it's all fate. There's nothing we can do. You can. You raise your consciousness and you think, actually, this is what happened last time. Let's not make that same mistake.
Yeah. And let's use also, and on the run up to that, use this Jupiter and Neptune to get knowledgeable, to read things as well, to get informed.
The Jupiter and Gemini, absolutely. Facts. Again, speaking as a Jupiter and Gemini person, I love a fact. I love data. Look at the data. And may I recommend a website called The World in Data? Fantastic.
Okay.
Yeah, very grounding.
On that note, I think we should wrap it up because we've been talking quite some time.
Oh, yeah, we have.
It's Jupiter and Gemini, so what do you expect? We could keep talking for ages.
It's going to be like that for a year now, folks. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, enjoy your month, everybody. Exciting stuff coming up. Go with the role of that Jupiter and Gemini and do something exciting. Thanks for listening in, and please do let your friends know about the podcast, share it far and wide, and we'll see you again on the solstice next month. Take care. Bye.
Bye.